Hello, my name is Todd. Well, first I want to say my sincere thanks that you guys do this once a month. Probably the two biggest longings for my church, for our church, two of my biggest longings for our church is this business of outreach, and that we would increasingly be able to work with the liturgy in a way that works good for our formation and for outsiders. So I'm always thankful I have people like Michael around, or Scott, or others who, have the time and the energy and the inclination to work on the liturgical stuff. And then very thankful for Marty and Roger and those of you who care about this outreach stuff, because I just can't do everything I want to do. And so it always just feels really good to me personally, I guess, starting on a personal note. It always feels really good to me personally to know that people are pulling things in the direction that I think the Lord wants us to go. So I'm grateful that you guys do this. So here's the backstory for Three's Enough Groups. When I wrote this first book, my agent and my editor both said to me, "Hey, Todd, you know, this book's got a lot of great ideas in it. People are going to like it, but they're going to get to the end of it and go, but what do I do about it?" So they said, "You know, you really need to add another chapter that kind of gives people a way to work with this stuff and to walk it out." So I thought, you know, what could that be? And somehow came to my mind something from literally 20 or 25 years ago, where a friend of mine who was a church growth consultant and was working with training and mentoring church planters, he was organizing them together in triads. And he was writing about it. His name's Bob Logan, if you happen to know. He was writing about it. He was doing some kind of sociological studies and stuff. Well, that popped into my mind. But triads is not a very, kind of grabby name for something that you hope would exist in public. So another friend of mine helped me come up with this name, Three's Enough Groups. What I was looking for was this, that if either discipleship, our followership of Jesus, and our missional engagement with the world is something that we think we have to add to an already over-busy, over-calendared, over-indebted life, it'll literally never happen. I mean, the main reason most people don't actually, for instance, do the daily offices, morning and evening prayer, or morning and compline, or whatever, is they just literally don't have the time. And to do it would just add more busyness to their life, and it ends up actually not helping. So I just thought for a while and thought, well, is there a way that, well, this is my thought. What if our actual life counted? What if we didn't have to add something to our life to become spiritual or to care about others? What if within the already existing rhythms of our present life, our actual life, the one we're now living, what if within that life, without adding more busyness to it, we just took the people and events of our lives and we made those people and those events the grounds for both our formation, meaning we learn to be patient not by reading a book about patience, but by being patient with somebody who's impatient to us on the freeway or at a checkout counter. That's when you learn to do patience. And what if we learn to do, quote, outreach also within the everyday already existing rhythms and routines of our lives? So I came up with this notion, Three's Enough Groups, and we've got a handout for you here. One of the biblical notions behind this, that I tried to keep this to one page so it didn't make it on here, is Romans 12, 1 and 2 from the Message that says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. So that's the vision here. How can you do that within our already existing lives? And so let's just look at this for a minute. First of all, why three people? Because one of the problems with the small group movement in America, with the typical sort of small groups in churches, is that small groups require leaders. They actually require sophisticated leaders. It is not easy to lead a group of people, right, Michael? I mean, groups of 8, 10, 12, 15 people, it's not nothing. I mean, it actually requires leadership. I don't mean to say it's rocket science, but it actually requires leadership. And when you require leadership for something to be scalable, for it to keep growing, that means you have to have a leadership factory. And it's one of the biggest reasons that most churches, no matter how hard they try, have a really difficult time getting, most of the people in their churches involved in a small group. Second thing, which is kind of a negative, if there's only two people, there's almost automatic hierarchy, either because of male-female issues or age, someone's older than the other, or station in life, like somebody like me who's ordained. You get two people together, and most of the time, not every time, but most of the time, there's immediate sort of hierarchy issues that come up. And if you look in the evangelical world, that was actually taught implicitly, that was the way it was supposed to be. So, you know, just think of like, and again, I'm not criticizing this, but think of like Navigators or Young Life or InterVarsity and those things. Normally, it was taught that you should have somebody who was sort of the elder, you know, mentoring someone who's the junior. And again, it's not that that's like dumb or people wouldn't have done it for a long time, but it is limiting. But with three people, and there's an appendix in my book and another chapter that goes into this in more detail, but with three people, you don't need a leader. It's just not necessary to have a leader with three people. And with three people, you neutralize a lot of what can be these sort of automatic social or hierarchical things. So that's why I suggested three people. It's doable, it's scalable, you don't have to have a big leadership factory, and it socially fits. So the idea was, you could have three investment bankers in Madison Avenue in New York City who say, we spend 70 hours of our week in this building. This building is gonna be the place where we pursue our own formation and where we seek to serve others and win the lost. Because this is where we spend most of our awake hours. If we exclude this from our life, there's almost none of our life left. Most of it's then sleeping and eating and traveling on the subway, if you live in New York City, right? Could be three firemen, three cops, three nurses who work on the maternity floor. What you do is you just say, the place where I already have the rhythms and routines of my actual life, those spaces and places, it's there that I'm going to pursue my own formation and my missional engagement with the world. I'm not going to try to add something else. So three people agree to get together and do this. So three's enough is kind of a double entendre. It's three people doing three simple things. And those simple things are pray, grow, and serve. And, you know, this is arbitrary. It's just what I thought of. It doesn't mean that there's nothing more, nothing less. I just thought, okay, you know, what could people do? And, you know, sort of maybe the vineyard guy in me, I would love it if people could pray to be alert to the Spirit's leadership and guidance within their daily life, to learn to pay attention to the people and events of their lives, to pray for Spirit power that enables them to be an ambassador of the kingdom within the routines of their life, and to pray for the ability to do so for the good of others, and then, of course, pray for the members of your group as you go along on this journey. So I'm picturing two things. One sort of intercession, but the other one that is, I'm picturing here a kind of prayer that would be more like practicing the presence of God, where you're just sort of praying to be alert to the rhythms and routines of the kingdom within the rhythms and routines of your life. So your life is kind of going like this, and the kingdom is coming into that life in certain places, and we have to learn to be alert to that. So intercession, and then learning to be alert. And then by grow, I just mean read edifying material that facilitates the journey inward and the journey outward. So you could say, we're going to read the book of Acts from the Message, or you could say, we're going to read Dallas Willard's The Divine Kingdom, or you could say, we're going to read Todd Hunter's Christianity Beyond Belief. Read something that's edifying and talk about it. That's all. Just like once a week, like let's say it's three cops and they work the 3 to midnight shift. So they just agree that once a week, there's a Starbucks next door to the police station, that they're going to get to work half hour early, 45 minutes early, go to that Starbucks, the three of them, and they're going to pray, and they're going to just share about the things that they've been reading. See, it happens, well, that's maybe not the best example. Let's say that during their shift, they're going to meet at Tom's place for a burger, and then just talk about what they've been reading and what's happening with them so that it happens within the rhythms of their already existing life. So grow by meditating on the things the Spirit highlights in your reading and by discussing your reading with your Three's Enough group once a week over coffee, lunch, or after work. And then serve, and then this really gets at the heart of course, the missional engagement, is to, my vision here was, I don't know, picture somebody who works in a big open office with a lot of cubicles and, you know, let's say this girl knows that the girl next to her's name is Sally, but she doesn't really know her. But two or three mornings in a row, she comes to work and she notices that Sally just looks distraught. One morning even looked like she'd been crying. And at some point, you notice that. You're alert to it. And you say, you sort of screw up your courage and you say, I don't know, Sally, I might be crazy. I know we don't know each other that well. But I just have to say, it just seemed like the last two or three days, you seem really troubled. Are you okay? And then maybe Sally blurts out, no, I'm not okay. I just found out my husband was seeing another woman. Or, no, my husband just lost his job and he had the insurance and we can't live on what I make here and now we don't have any insurance. You know, whatever, just from being alert, just from noticing what's happening around you and then having the courage and the sensitivity to make yourself present to that person and to what's going on in her life. So to learn to be alert, to notice others, through creative, resourceful, and inventive help for others, be humble, gentle, generous, genuinely altruistic. Altruism just means giving without any expect of getting anything back. Drawing no attention to you or your Three's Enough group. I mean, the worst thing that could happen here, I think, is that we drew attention to this group in any way. And at worst, we especially don't want to become the office nags, you know, the sort of the kind of people who are always, you know, nagging about, what is this season greetings? You know, I want to say Merry Christmas or whatever, you know, just where you don't sort of become the people who are constantly nagging about stuff. You just make yourself present. So I say here, God's purpose for you is that you're his cooperative friend, serving others, the least, the last, the lost, the broken, and the missing, in the everyday affairs and rhythms of your life. If following Jesus means anything, it means to serve others. And then there's that passage there where it says, Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for others. So that's kind of the vision. So let me stop there and just see if there's any questions or comments, and then I'll just hit some of the highlights of these values for Three's Enough groups. What do you think about the vision? Do you get the basic vision? Coop, what do you think? You in?
Can I give an example?
Yeah.
Some mutual friends of ours started a Three's Enough group in their office, and these gals started reading. I think they were reading your book as part of their inward journey. And we talk about that language, journey inward, yep. Journey outward, don't we, with Three's Enough group. And they were praying together, and then the fires hit over in San Gabriel Valley, about those really bad fires we had a few years ago. And they were looking for what do you want us to do as a journey outward, as mission? And the three of them decided that they needed to call everyone they knew who lived up in those areas and people they worked with in different things, to see if there was anything to do for them. You know, this is just three people and responding to a need. And I think they said, maybe you remember more than I do, but I know that the people they called were just blown away because no one had contacted them to see if there was anything they could do to help. You know, I'm sure people thought those things, but they never put it into action. And so they were able to help in small ways, but probably the biggest impact was the fact that someone thought about them enough to call and ask. So just, it's amazing what little simple things, what big things God can make of them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the hope is with these groups is that there's sort of just a drip, drip, drip factor, where you do this enough and you find yourself being way more alert to what's happening around you than you would have been had you not been pursuing this journey inward, your own formation, and this journey outward of noticing others. See, here, let me just say one other thing. What's really at the heart of this for me is, what if noticing could be a spiritual discipline? Just noticing. Because just now when I was saying hi to Michael Pritzel, you know, who led worship this morning, he's been gone for 6 weeks out on tour, and I saw him, and I just said, Michael, two things. One, I really missed you, and thanks, you did a great job this morning. And he just looked at me and said, I can't tell you how much that means to me. Mm-hmm. that, you know, no one pays attention to us musicians. Nobody knows what I'm doing when I'm out traveling the world. No one cares, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I just think our culture is so absent of noticing that we don't even get it. We are like so out of control in terms of, because of other things going on, that just those little things of noticing can be big door openers for the gospel, for healing, for whatever. What else are you thinking, Michael?
So just kind of give a sense of what is the advantage of a nice little, let's call it a holy huddle, mm-hmm. you know, versus just learning how to be alert on one's own and doing exactly what you said.
I would be happy for that. I'd be happy for the latter. The reason I'd prefer the former is because I think God speaks to his people through his people often. So if you have that in front of you, you have one of God's people, Todd, and if we're doing that, the three of us together, then we've also got the interaction of each other and us praying for each other. And there's kind of a implicit accountability. I mean, if you compare what I'm doing to other discipleship programs are way higher on accountability than mine is. And I don't know why, I just didn't think of it. So mine's kind of, the accountability sort of implicit, that we're gonna read edifying things and talk about them together. So see, there's a little implicit accountability in there. But that's why I would not have a problem with individuals doing it. The reason I prefer the three is I think it helps most individuals who can't do it on their own.
It says where two or three of you are gathered in my name.
Oh, yes, I guess I could have given Michael a better answer. top of the page, Michael. Top of the page. By yourself, you're unprotected. With a friend, you can face the worst. Can you round up a third? A three-stranded rope isn't easily snapped. Good old Solomon.
Example, I did a little threes enough group with a couple of women, and this is kind of how it evolves. First, these women felt safe enough because it wasn't that big a group, and these were new believers. It turned out that God kind of orchestrated an opportunity for them to admit to one another that they'd had abortions. Mm-hmm. And it was a deep hurt for them, and we prayed for them, and it was a huge area of healing. It just surprised me that this happened. And then secondly, one time one of them came in, and they were just talking about all the homeless people who were begging on the street, and they said, well, what do you think we should do? I mean, should we give money to them? Should we? And I shared a little bit about how we used to put together lunch bags that people could carry around and hand people who were, I think we were doing that a little while ago. We used to do that vineyard. These girls said, let's do that. And they all got together. They all bought different items. They put them together in bags, and we used them. And then they put them together to offer to the whole church to give to people, to give to homeless. I mean, and what I found with these little threes enough group is what God does just spontaneously is amazingly exciting.
Yeah. All right, well, let me hit just a couple of highlights in these values for threes enough groups, because I can leave them with you. So we're going to hit some highlights on this, and then Marty might have something else in between, but then we're going to break up into groups of three just for like 5 minutes, just to let you experience how this can work. And maybe you can pick one of these values. Maybe you can say to the group the value that stood out to you and why or whatever. So just to get a little chance to discuss this. So one great underlying value is that for me, this is a great way to learn to be an apprentice of Jesus. This approach, I think, teaches people to go beyond the person and work of the Spirit as kind of a controversial doctrine to a really daily practical thing. I'm learning how to actually see where the Spirit's working, to hear his voice, to learn to follow him as our guide. Three, that this is a grace thing. And that grace, that last sentence there, is for the whole journey of discipleship, not just conversion. And that is very important. For many, many Christians, when they think of grace, they attach it to sin. as if grace only has to do with forgiveness of sin, but actually grace is aimed at the whole of Christian life. Anything we do, sitting here breathing right now, is an act of grace. And so it's really important that people don't see this as, you know, kind of works or something. In doing this, I think that it helps people get in touch with the righteousness, peace, and joy of the kingdom, replacing neurotic religious guilt, shame, fear with this reality. That would be a great joy for me if that happened. It teaches people that this life matters, not just the life to come, and that the events and people of our life are of utmost value. I believe that every Christ follower should be oriented to serving others. And I'll just say that I can't do that day in and day out, like with the homeless or those kinds of things, I can put my hand over my heart and say that as I go through my day in and day out, I do try to make myself present to and serving whoever I happen to be in front of. And that doesn't matter whether it's a crowd of 1,000 people or one person in my office, I'm constantly striving to make myself present in a serving way wherever I am. And it can be learned really easily. It's just a discipline. It's really not that big a deal. When God asks to be his cooperative friends, he'll provide the motivation and means to do so. We will look for those who may be ready to enter life in the kingdom and make Jesus's and his kingdom known. It's important to realize that our Three's Enough group is not an end in itself, that the group's telos, its end or purpose, is following Jesus as ambassadors of the kingdom goodness for the sake of others. In other words, I'm not trying to start Three's Enough groups, like as a brand. I'm trying to start little enzymes of the kingdom, and that these little kingdom enzymes get embedded in neighborhoods and nursing homes and elementary schools and engineers, you know, working on HVAC systems, you know. Any area of human endeavor, these things can be embedded in. Obviously, if you know me, it's important to me. We'll practice our faith with gentleness, humility, and in hidden service to others, meaning we're not drawing attention to ourselves. This is another one really important to me. The journey outward doesn't begin after getting our act together. Therefore, we won't wait until we're fully fixed before starting our lives of creative goodness. Some things about us, you should underline this, there's a whole sermon in this sentence. Some things about us can't be learned apart from first taking the risk of loving and serving others. Amen. There are just aspects of our human character that we'll never get at until we start putting ourselves on the line for the sake of others. Then you'll start uncovering all kinds of stuff. So really this journey inward and this journey outward isn't like railroad tracks where they never cross. This journey inward and journey outward are more like a yin and yang symbol or something where they move and they intersect with each other. Because what I'm saying is you can be doing what seems to be the journey outward, putting yourself out for somebody and discover you've got layers of fear you never knew existed in you. Like you literally never knew existed in you. Well, now that puts you back in the journey inward. And then as you start working on those fears, that enables the journey outward. So you see, these things actually work together synergistically, not like railroad tracks that never touch. And then I thought it was important to say that Three's Enough groups will never criticize the church, that it's designed to help the church to be the sent people of God in daily life. And more than that, I really picture Christians of every stripe being able to do this together. And I get asked this question a lot. I would even be okay if it was anybody of any religion. As long as you had a couple of Christians and somebody wanted to join who's Buddhist, okay. As long as they're willing to take on these practices, that they're going to read Christian stuff and do Christian stuff, I'm okay with that. If they're Muslim, fine. You know, if they're New Age, fine. As long as they know this is a Christian thing and we're doing a Christian thing here, I think it's actually a cool way to engage with people of other religions if they want to be a part of doing this. Like, I think it'd be fantastic if a Buddhist is willing to read with you the Book of Acts and the Message and learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus. I think that's pretty cool. But you just have to be clear that that's what we're doing in this group, that this group is not pan-religious, you know. This is a Christian thing. And I think once that's true and in a warm and inviting way, then I think we have opportunity to reach out to people of almost every religion. All right. Mike, yeah.
Actually, two questions.
Yeah.
So, is 3 and enough equal 4 is too much?
That's a good question. I get asked that all the time too. You know, if there was some reason where it had to grow to 4 or 5, I don't have a beef with it. If somebody really had a vision for this in their workplace, so I don't know, let's picture a big hospital and a surgical ward or something, and so you got, 100 nurses who work there. If one of the nurses really had a vision to really sort of get this going in a big way, then I would say that when you got to 4, the ideal is divide and go find another one. That's the ideal. But I certainly wouldn't have a beef if for a while you had it 4. I was in one that only had 2 for a while because we lost somebody. So this is just sort of an ideal. It's not not any kind of law.
And then what about gender mixing, particularly among marrieds? How is that?
I don't have a beef because I just think, good grief, can't we get past that, you know? It harms our witness and our ability to work together so much that, you know. I have had youth leaders say to me that they didn't think mixed genders would work with young people. And maybe so. But for us adults, they just think, please, can't we get past that? And maybe the answer is we can't, and that's okay. I just think it would be such a great testimony if we could.
I think, Todd, in my experience, some of the real intimate sharing wouldn't have happened in a mixed group.
Yeah. I hear that a lot, too. I guess maybe one thing to say is this isn't an end-all and a be-all. Either if the, and I mean this like sincerely, that this could be discerned on a case-by-case basis. If really what the Lord's doing revolves that kind of intimate sharing, well, then that makes the answer for you. If on the other hand, no, what's happening here is we're 3 nurses at Chalk in Orange, and we're serving poor families whose kids are in the hospital, and it's 2 female nurses and a male nurse, but it's all about something less intimate but more serving, that might work. Mm-hmm. So I think we probably have to take it on a case-by-case basis.